as it relates to what was decreed upon this individual is considered to be good, and is bad only as it relates to the one who it happened to. As for the one who wrote it, for the one who allowed it, the one who decreed it, the evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, we say, this is an issue that you just have to accept. You understand it, you don't understand it. It is a mas'ala musallama, something you have to accept. But there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he taught us in one of the supplications. And in the supplication, he taught us to say, an evil, a shar, is not attributed to you. That's what the Prophet taught us to say as it relates to Allah, to believe and to understand that the evil is not attributed to you. So based on that, we don't attribute the evil to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is not permissible to say that Allah is sharir, that Allah is an evil doer, or evil is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he went on to say, Allah ta'ala, what he does is not considered to be evil as an attribution to him. As a matter of fact, all of the actions of Allah, everything that he does, it is good. Even the fact that something is decreed, and when it's decreed in it, is good and evil as it relates to you, as it relates to the people. It's good and evil only as it relates to the people. But all of the actions of Allah are good, and they have wisdom in it. So evil is not attributed to him. He said, I'll give you an example to make this even more clear, inshallah. Look at the person who his car is broke and it is in need of being fixed. And the other individual who is a mechanic or a person who fixes cars, this has been decreed that that man, his car, it broke down. So the one who is his property that he has to take to get it fixed, as it relates to him, it's an evil thing that his car broke down. As it relates to him, he looks at it as evil, it's a problem. But for the one who fixes his car, when he brings him his car, he benefits. So that same decree that's evil for that man, as it relates to the other man, it is good. And the knowledge of that, why, the details, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, ikhwan, is the one who buries the people. His job is, he makes money, buries the people. A man leaves his house, he makes the supplication, and then he dies. The one who buries the people, when people come to him dead and he buries them, he gets benefit from that. That's his profession, that's where he gets his money from. But the other person who dies, the one who's actually dying, that is evil as it relates to him, as it relates to his family. So all of the actions of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are good. Even the issue of the fact that what he decrees is good or bad, and it's only good or bad as it relates to the one who it has been decreed upon. All of Allah's actions are khair, are good. All of his actions. What is evil from his actions is only considered to be evil and attributes. The evilness of it is only as it relates to the person who it falls upon. But Allah himself, when he decrees, it has wisdom in it and it has benefit. And the Shaykh describes his wisdom as having wisdom that is baligha, an ultra super duper wisdom involved in it that people don't have the ability to know concerning the aqdar or what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed. Whoever goes into his creation of the Jannah has wisdom, and who goes in it. The creation of the Nar has wisdom, and who goes in it. The creation of the people who are going to obey and disobey is wisdom. All of what he decreed is good for those people. The one who goes to Jannah, one who goes to hellfire, one who obeys, one who disobeys. The evil aspects of that are only evil as it relates to the human being. Some people kill other people. The killing of one is evil for some, and killing is not evil for others. So, ikhwan, as we said in the beginning of the dars, the beginning of the class, The qadr of Allah is from the secrets of Allah. The reality of it is not known except by Allah Ta'ala. But we should know in general all of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all of His decree is good and it has wisdom. So therefore, it is absolutely necessary and incumbent upon every single individual to realize, as a human being, you have limitations. And you should understand and know and accept and embrace your limitations. You should know, as a human being, your intellect is mahdood. Your intellect, it has boundaries and limits. Your intellect is not limitless. Your knowledge does not encompass all of anything. Your knowledge does not encompass all of anything. So you have to submit. You have to submit to this concept of believing in the Qadr, and you have to submit to this idea and this concept that you are deficient in your intellect. Allah Ta'ala is not oppressive, as He said in the Quran. And your Lord was not oppressive to His servants, but the servants themselves to one another are extremely oppressive. So the Qadr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the decree of Allah, what He decrees, the predestination, the preordainment, the fact that everything is written before it happens. In what was written is the knowledge of Allah. In what is written is evil and good. All of what was divinely decreed is good and from the wisdom of Allah. But as it relates to what is evil from that and what comes out of it, as it relates to the evil, it is relative. It is nisbi, it's relative. It's evil to some and it's good to others. As it relates to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, it's all good. When He decreed that Zayd from the people, something happens and Zayd, this particular individual, he gets good as a result of it, benefit as a result of it, is good because Allah decreed it, and is good in relationship to Zayd. When He decrees that Ubayd, someone from the people Ubayd, something was decreed, what Allah decreed is good because Allah decreed it, but is evil only as it relates to Zayd.
من الأمثلة الطيبة جدا التي ورد ذكرها أو ذكر شيء منها في بعض الأحاديث. رجل كفر كفر أو هو كافر ورجل مسلم وحصل جهاد قتال بين المسلمين والكفار، هذا الكافر قتل ذلك المسلم، هذا خير للمسلم أنه نال بذلك الشهادة، وهذا شر لذلك الرجل الكافر لأنه لو مات على ذلك لكان ذلك سببا في خلوده في النار. لكن إذا هذا تقدير واحد، كافر يقتل مسلما في جهاد بين المسلمين والكفار، فالمسلم نال الشهادة والكافر زادت أوزاره وخطاياه وذنوبه إضافة إلى كفره وشركه. في الحديث الصحيح يقول نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يعجب الله أو يضحك الله لرجلين يقتل أحدهما الآخر ويدخلان الجنة. كيف هذا؟ كان أحدهما كافرا فقتل المسلم فنال المسلم الشهادة فدخل الجنة، ثم أسلم هذا الكافر فدخل الجنة. إذن هذا مثال لبعض تقديرات الله سبحانه وتعالى التي يكون بها الأمر في ظاهره أنه شر، ولكن هو خير. هذا الذي تسبب في شهادة أخيه هو نفسه دخل الجنة بعد ذلك. إذن ربنا جعله سببا في قتل مسلم لينال المسلم الشهادة، ثم هو قدر الله له أن يسلم ليدخل الجنة أيضا، فقتل أحدهما الآخر ومع ذلك هما في الجنة. وقس على هذا، نحن نفهم بعض الأمور ونفهم بعض المسائل ونفهم بعض الأمثلة، لكن هذه الأمور لا يمكن أن نفهم بها كل شيء. فأقدار الله كثيرة، كل شيء في خلق الله بقدر الله، الأقدار لا تحصى، لا يمكن أن نحصي أقدار الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يمكن أن نفهم حكمة كل شيء على حدة، لكننا نؤمن بحكمة الله عز وجل، ونؤمن بعدله سبحانه وتعالى، ونؤمن بعلمه، ونؤمن بقدره خيره وشره. فهذا أمر لا بد من فهمه، ولا بد من التسليم لهذا الباب، سواء علمنا التفاصيل أو لم نعلم، عرفنا بعض الحكم أو لم نعرف، لأننا لا يمكن أبدا أن نعرف كل شيء.
From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an incident that happened, and it comes to us, the story in the hadith is the man who disbelieved in Allah. He was a kafir. And another man who was a Muslim, they engaged each other in war, in the jihad. In the process, the non-Muslim, the kafir, he was given the ability. It was decreed that he had the ability to overcome the Muslim, and he killed the Muslim. So in reality, this was good for the Muslim, because with it, he got the Shahada. And it seemed to be apparent that it was evil for the kafir. It was evil for the kafir if the kafir would have died upon that. Because him killing a person who's a Muslim would have been a reason from the reasons to keep him forever in the hellfire. So here we have a situation where one single taqdeer of Allah. Allah decreed something, and that thing that He decreed is one thing, and yet from two sides there can be evil and good in it, or both good. Here we have the non-Muslim killed the kafir. As a result of being killed by the kafir, the Muslim gets good from the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that he gets the shahada. As it relates from the other side, the kafir who killed him, in addition to his kufr, in addition to his oppression, he gets the sin added onto his slate of killing. So that's more dhunub for him. So the Prophet said in the authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Allah is amazed. Allah is amazed. He has i'jab. And Allah laughs in a way that befits His majesty. Allah laughs at two men, two servants. A Muslim and a kafir, they meet each other and they engage each other in the war, in the fight. The kafir kills the Muslim goes to Jannah, and then the kafir who killed the Muslim embraces al-Islam, and then he died and he went to Jannah. Allah is amazed at their situation. He laughs at their situation. He's amazed and he laughs in a way that befits His majesty. So the Shaykh said, here we have an example of the taqdeer of Allah, what Allah decreed. The apparent, when you look at it, what seems to be apparent is there is some evil in it, in that the Muslim died in it, the kafir killed a Muslim and he gets additional sins. But in fact, it's not even evil at all. But one taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was good for both of them. Allah decreed this thing. And the thing that He decreed, it enabled the Muslim to get the shahada, which is good. And from that same thing, the kafir became a Muslim. And as a result of that, that qadr, or that taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was good for him. So the Shaykh said, make qiyas, make analogy. Compare this situation, these examples that he gave you so far, and this is the examples you should make as it relates to other issues. Ikhwan, we don't and we can't understand all of the aqdar of Allah. Some of these things we can understand and appreciate. The aqdar, what Allah has decreed, They are countless. They are many. You will never be able to bring them all together from the volume of the aqdar. We are not capable and able of understanding even the hikmah. But what we have to do is, we have to have iman and we have to believe that Allah is just. That Allah has knowledge over everything and His knowledge extends beyond everything and His knowledge is complete. We have to believe that the qadr and the aqdar, the pre-decreement of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is all good as it relates to Him. And in relationship to the people, it is relatively good. It is relative, good or evil as it relates to them. He said, what we have to do is, understand we don't know all of these details, but we submit and we make taslim. We submit whether we understood the hikmah or we didn't understand the hikmah of it.
هل كل ما قدره الله سبحانه وخلقه وأذن فيه في خلقه يحبه الله؟ هل كل شيء خلقه الله يحبه الله؟ هل كل شيء قدره الله يحبه الله ويرضاه؟ الجواب لا. مما خلقه الله وأذن في خلقه ومما قدره الله وأذن في وقوعه ما يحبه ومنه ما لا يحبه، لكن له الحكمة البالغة سبحانه في ذلك أيضا. الله عز وجل خلق إبليس وهو يعلم أن إبليس سيكفر وأنه سيكون من أهل النار، هل هو يحب إبليس؟ ما الجواب؟ لا يحب إبليس. والله عز وجل خلق إبليس بقدر أم لا؟ خلق إبليس بقدر، له في ذلك الحكمة البالغة، ولكن هو لا يحب إبليس ولا يحب حزب الشيطان، لا يحب الشيطان ولا حزب الشيطان، ولكن ما صار حزب الشيطان حزب الشيطان إلا بقدر الله سبحانه وتعالى. حزب الرحمن، الله يحب أنبياءه ورسله، نعم هم أحب الناس إليه، ويحب أتباع الأنبياء والرسل، نعم هم أحب الناس إليه بعد أنبيائه ورسله، وهذا كله بقدر الله سبحانه. لذلك أهل السنة، أهل الحديث والسنة، أجابوا عن هذا الموضوع إجابة طيبة، قضية مشيئة الله. كيف تقولون يا أهل السنة كل شيء في الكون لا يقع إلا بمشيئة الله، وفي نفس الوقت أنتم تقولون إن الله يحب الطاعات ويكره المعاصي، يحب الإيمان ويكره الكفر، يحب المؤمنين ويكره الكفار، فكيف يكون هذا؟ فأجاب أهل السنة بما سبق، ليس كل ما قدره الله يحبه، فمن تقديراته ما يحبه ومن تقديراته ما لا يحبه، من تقديراته ما يرضاه ومن تقديراته ما لا يرضاه. ولذلك قسم أهل السنة مشيئة الله سبحانه إلى قسمين، مشيئة قدرية كونية، وهذه تشمل كل الخلق، فلا يقع شيء في خلق الله إلا بإذنه ومشيئته، سواء كان هذا الشيء خيرا أم شرا، يحبه الله ويرضاه أو يبغضه ويأباه، كل هذا بقدر الله. فهذه المشيئة تشمل كل شيء، ومشيئة دينية شرعية، هذه المشيئة، النوع الثاني من المشيئة، خاصة بما يحبه الله ويرضاه من دين وشرع وطاعة. فالله عز وجل يحب المؤمنين ويبغض الكافرين، يحب الإيمان ويبغض الكفر، يحب الأنبياء ويبغض إبليس، وهكذا قس على هذا. فالمشيئة، مشيئة الله تنقسم إلى قسمين، مشيئة قدرية كونية، وهذه تتعلق بجميع المخلوقات، ما يقع شيء في خلق الله إلا بإذنه ومشيئته، هذه المشيئة الكونية القدرية، وهذه تعم كل شيء، تعم الخير والشر، وتعم الحق والباطل، وتعم الإيمان والكفر، وتعم الطاعات والمعاصي. فما شيء يقع شيء في كون الله إلا بإذن الله، لا يقع شيء في كون الله بغير إذن الله أبدا. والمشيئة الأخرى هي المشيئة الدينية الشرعية، فهذه خاصة بدين الله، خاصة بالطاعات، خاصة بالإيمان. الله يحب الصلاة وأهلها، يحب الصيام وأهله، يحب الحج وأهله، يبغض الكفر وأهله، يبغض الزنا وأهله، يبغض الخمر وأهلها، وهكذا. إذن لا بد من هذا التقسيم، لا بد من هذا التقسيم. بعض أهل العلم سموا المشيئة الأولى بالإرادة، وبعضهم سماها كما قلنا بالمشيئة القدرية الكونية، وبعض أهل العلم سمى المشيئة الثانية بالمحبة، وبعضهم سماها المشيئة الدينية الشرعية. يعني البعض قال هذه الإرادة وهذه المحبة، ليس كل ما يريده الله يحبه سبحانه وتعالى، فالله أراد أن يكون الخلق كذلك، فيهم المؤمن والكافر والمطيع والعاصي، ولكنه يحب المؤمنين ويبغض الكفار، يحب المطيعين ويكره العصاة. والتقسيم الثاني نفس الشيء، لا مشاحة في الاصطلاح كما يقال. يعني المهم أن نفهم الفرق بين القسمين. الله عز وجل أراد أن يكون في خلقه إبليس والأنبياء والرسل، هو يحب الأنبياء والرسل، يبغض إبليس. الله عز وجل شاء قدرا وكونا أن يخلق إبليس والأنبياء والرسل، ولكنه لم يأذن لإبليس دينا وشرعا في أن يكفر، فالله لا يحب الكفر ولا يحب أهله. الله عز وجل يبغض الكفر وأهله، ولا يرضى لعباده الكفر كما قال في كتابه، ولا يرضى لعباده الكفر. فهل الله يرضى لعباده الكفر؟ الجواب ماذا؟ لا يرضى لعباده الكفر، لكنه سبحانه شاء أن يكون في عباده مؤمن وكافر أم لا؟ الجواب نعم، شاء أن يكون في عباده مؤمن وكافر، فلا بد من التفريق بين هذين القسمين. وبذلك أجاب أهل السنة عن الشبهات التي طرحها المخالفون في هذا الباب، وسنعرف من هم المخالفون إن شاء الله في الفقرة القادمة.
Sheikh, he posed a question, a rhetorical question, as it relates to his lesson, and that question was concerning the qadr. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything, as we've mentioned already, does that mean that Allah, everything that he has decreed, and everything that he has allowed to take place in his creation, nothing takes place except by his permission and by his will and by his creation. Does that mean, since it happened and it was decreed by Allah, does that mean that Allah loves everything that happens in the creation? And that he's pleased with everything that happens from what is taking place as a result of his qadr? Is he pleased and he loves all of that? The Shaykh said, of course not. The answer is no. From what Allah Ta'ala has created are those things which he gave permission and he allowed those things to do. But we said that it has hikmah, super hikmah involved in it. Allah created Iblis, and he knew that Iblis was going to be a kafir. And he knew that Iblis was going to go to the Nar. And he knew what Iblis was going to do in terms of the evil. He knew all of that. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love all of that. Allah ta'ala created Iblis with the qadr. Huh? Did he create him with the qadr or not? Of course, he created Iblis with the qadr. Everything has been created by the qadr of Allah. And there is a tremendous hikmah in the creation of Iblis. The knowledge of the details and the reality of that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't mean that Allah ta'ala, because he allowed it and decreed it, that doesn't mean that he loves Iblis, nor does he love the hizb of Iblis, of Shaytan. He doesn't love shaitan, nor does he love the Hizb al-Shaytan. As a matter of fact, they became the Hizb al-Shaytan as a result of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't love them. As for the Anbiya and the messengers, they are the Hizb of Allah. And those who follow them, they are the Hizb of Allah. And they are the ones who Allah loves the most, and they're closest to Allah. Allahu Ta'ala loves those individuals. So, concerning this critical issue, Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Hadith, they answered those people who oppose the correct understanding of the Qadr. They answered them as it relates to this question, does Allah, you believe Allah created everything, so does Allah love everything that He has decreed and He has created? Because everything has been created by Allah's Qadr. The Shaykh said, we have to understand that everything has been created by the Mashiach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's correct. And we have to have total absolute iman. But that does not mean that Allah ta'ala loves everything that He has created and everything that He has given the taqdeer to. So we have to understand that there are two kinds of Mashiach. The will of Allah, Mashi'ah, like Masha'Allah, the Mashi'ah, the will of Allah. The Shaykh said, Ahlul Sunnah, we understand that there are two types of Mashi'ah, two types of wills of Allah as it relates to this issue. The first one is the will of Allah, the Mashi'ah of Allah, that is the Kauni, the Kauniya, the universal. The universal will of Allah. Yeah. The universal will of Allah. In this Mashiach of Allah, the will of Allah, everything in His creation goes inside of that. From what is good from the creation, what is bad from the creation. Everything. The good, the evil, everything that you can think of falls under the realm of the Mashi'ah al-Qadariya, the Mashi'ah al-Kawniya. The Shaykh, he went on to say, that's the first one. From that is everything, good, bad, whatever you could possibly think of. That's the universal Mashi'ah of Allah. The second type of Mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Mashi'ah al-Shar'iyya or al-Diniyya, the religious will. What Allah has decreed, and it has religious implications to it. In this particular Mashiach, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves. This, the things that He has allowed to happen, what He has decreed in this particular aspect of His Mashiach, this is what He loves specifically, the religious aspect. So Allah ta'ala, He loves the believers and He hates the disbelievers. He loves Iman and He hates Kufr. He loves Salat and the people of Salat and the people who abandon it. No. He loves Hajj and the people of Hajj. This is what He has decreed in the Mashi'ah al-Diniyah or al-Shar'iyah. What He's decreed religiously and what has the religious ramifications and implications. This is the aspect of the Qadr. This is the aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves from what He has allowed from His will. As for the other one, the universal Mashi'ah, everything that happens, in it is what Allah loves, in it is what Allah doesn't love. Everything that has been created. So, just for your information, some of the people of knowledge, they use other terms to describe these two Mashiach. Some scholars say that the first Mashiach, instead of being the Mashiach al-Kawniya, they call it the Mashiach of al-Irada. Al-Irada, meaning Allah wanted this, Allah decreed that, Allah wanted that. The Irada of Allah. Some of them call it that. And they call the second one the Mashiach of al-Muhabba. The Mashiach of al-Muhabba. Allah wanted this and He loves this particular thing. He said these technical terms, whether it is what the first group of ulama said or the second group, that's not important. We shouldn't make any mashaha. We waste a lot of time what that term and the difference between. No, it is that you understand the point. So in the mashia of al-muhabba, the mashia of al-diniya shar'iya, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. As for the other one that is in the universal, that may be from what Allah loves, what He doesn't love, because Allah Ta'ala, He doesn't love disbelief, as He mentioned in the Quran, and Allah is not pleased that His servants should disbelieve. So that was the answer that Ahlul Sunnah gave to the people who opposed them in the issue of the Qadr, and those people who oppose them, they're going to be mentioned right now.
نحن لأننا نتكلم في مسألة القدر فالمخالفون لأهل السنة كل ما قدره الله فهو يحب من منهم غلاه ومنهم نفاه منهم من غلوا في مسألة إثبات القدر خالفوا بالغلو في الإثبات ومنهم من نفوا وخالفوا بالغلو في النفي كيف هذا الكلام؟ إذن نحن الآن نستطيع أن نقول أهل الحديث والسنة في الوسط يؤمنون بالقدر خيره وشره وأنه ليس كل وأن الله قدر كل شيء ولكن ليس كل ما قدره الله فهو يحبه ويرضى بل يحب الخير وأهله ويبغض الشر وأهله المخالفون قدرية غلاه أو قدرية نفاه إذن نحن الآن نريد أن نفهم نحفظ هذين المصطلحين إما أن يكون المخالف في مسألة القدر من القدرية الغلاه وإما أن يكون من القدرية النفاه كيف هذا الكلام؟ هذا الكلام لنفهمه سنأتي بالسؤال المشهور وهذا السؤال المشهور بعض الناس يعتبره كاللغز يعتبره كأنه لغز معقد ليس له حل وهذا غير صحيح هو له حل وكنا ونحن أطفالا صغارا في المدرسة إذا أردنا أن نضيع الحصة على المدرس نطرح هذا اللغز عندما يكون المدرس ما نريد أن نسمع منه شيئا فنتفق فيما بيننا إذا دخل المدرس واحد يرفع يده ويقول يا أستاذ عندي سؤال الإنسان مسير أم مخير فيبقى المدرس طول الحصة يشرح وطبعا ما أحد يسمع لما يقول هو فقط يريدون ضياع الحصة يعني لكن هذا السؤال صحيح وله جواب صحيح وليس لغزا معقدا وبه نفهم الفرق الثلاثة الجبرية القدرية الغلاه نسميهم أيضا الجبرية هؤلاء يقولون الإنسان مسير ليس له خيار جبرية يعني يقولون الإنسان مجبور ما لا خيار له مسير لا خيار له والفئة الأخرى القدرية النفاه يقولون الإنسان مخير ولا مشيئة لأحد معه هو يفعل كل شيء باختياره وبإرادته ولا مشيئة لله في ذلك إذن القدرية الغلاة قالوا مسير والقدرية النفاه قالوا مخير وأهل الحديث والسنة قالوا هو مسير مخير في آن واحد بهذا نفهم من المخالف فالفرقة التي قالت الله كتب وقدر والإنسان كالدمية يفعل ما كتبه الله عليه لا خيار له ولا مشيئة للإنسان مجبور مسير هؤلاء القدرية الغلاه ويسمون أيضا بماذا الجبرية لأنهم يقولون الإنسان مجبور مجبور على الصلاة مجبور على الزنا مجبور على الحج مجبور يفعل الشيء مجبور لأنه مكتوب عليه ولا يستطيع إلا أن يفعله والآخرون قالوا لا مشيئة لأحد مع الإنسان الإنسان هو الذي يفعل وهو مسؤول عن تصرفاته ولا مشيئة لله عليه في هذه المسألة هو مخير تماما فهؤلاء قالوا مسير مطلقا وهؤلاء قالوا مخير مطلقا وأهل الحديث والسنة قالوا هو مسير مخير في آن واحد فهو مخير في أمور ومسير في أمور أخرى مخير في أمور ومسير في أمور أخرى فلا شك أن الله عز وجل لا يحاسب الإنسان على شيء إلا وهذا الإنسان له مشيئة واختيار فيه. وقد أثبت الله هذه المشيئة أن الإنسان يشاء ويريد، قال تعالى: إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين لمن
يشاء،
لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم. وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. إذن الإنسان له مشيئة، فالإنسان مخير له مشيئة، يختار الإيمان، يختار الكفر، يختار يصلي، يختار لا يصلي، هذا كله يختاره الإنسان. لكن هل الإنسان مخير في كل شيء؟ وهل الإنسان أصلا يملك كل شيء حتى يتصرف فيه؟ كثير من الأقدار هي خارجة عن إرادة الإنسان. أنت إرادتك ومشيئتك محدودة، محدودة، ولكن هناك مشيئة أكبر من مشيئتك، وهناك إرادة أكبر من إرادتك. هي مشيئة من وإرادة من؟ هي مشيئة الله وإرادة الله، وهذا مذكور في نفس النص: إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. مثال عملي على هذه القاعدة: الإنسان مسير مخير في أمر. أنت الآن تعلم أن هنا، أنه في هذا المكان مؤتمر، وتعلم أن فلانا يحاضر في هذا المكان، وأنت تريد أن تأتي من مكانك إلى هذا المكان لتحضر المؤتمر. هذه مشيئتك واختيارك وإرادتك. هل هذا يعني أنك تستطيع أن تفعل ذلك فعلا؟ أم هناك أمور أكبر منك وخارجة عن إرادتك؟ هل كل من شاء وأراد أن يحضر هذا المؤتمر جاء إليه؟ لا. وبعضكم يعرف أن بعض إخوانه وأصحابه كان يريد ويشاء أن يأتي هنا، ولكن ما جاء، ما استطاع، لأن الإرادة الأكبر غلبته. إما جاءه ما يشغله، جاءه خبر أن والده توفي، جاءه خبر أن هناك ابنته مريضة، جاءه خبر، أو جاء في الطريق وعطلت سيارته ما وصل أصلا. كل هذا حاصل وحاضر. إذن كونك لك مشيئة ولك اختيار ولك إرادة لا يعني أنك جزما ستفعل ما تريد. فأنت لك مشيئة، ولكن مشيئتك محدودة على قدرك. أنت مخلوق ومشيئتك على قدرك، وإرادتك على قدرك، ولكنها مشيئة حقيقية. ولولا ذلك ما حاسبك الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالله يحاسبك عما تقدر عليه، ولا يحاسبك عما لا تقدر عليه. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. فربنا لا يحاسبك عما هو خارج عن إرادتك، لكن يحاسبك عن إرادتك ومشيئتك أنت. إذن الإنسان له مشيئة، ولكن مشيئة الله هي الغالبة. الإنسان له إرادة، ولكن إرادة الله هي الغالبة. وهذا ينفعنا في أمر مهم جدا. واحد يقول يعني هذا ما الذي نستفيده؟ هل تعلم أن الإنسان الذي يريد الخير وهو من داخله خير وطيب، هل تعلم أن الله يساعده على الخير وييسر له المقادير التي بها يكون من الأخيار؟ والإنسان الشرير الذي ليس بمخلص، ربنا يعلم من قلبه، هو في ظاهره أنه صالح، لكن ربنا يعلم من داخله أنه ليس مخلصا. ربنا ييسره للعسرة، لا يوفقه للخير ولا يوفقه للطاعة. فربنا يقدر من المقادير ما به يزداد الخير خيرا، ويقدر من المقادير ما به يزداد الشرير شرا. قال تعالى: فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى، وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى. كل ميسر لما خلق له. ولذلك قال السلف: من جزاء الحسنة الحسنة بعدها، ومن جزاء السيئة السيئة بعدها. يعني أنت إذا أطعت الله بإخلاص من الجائزة التي يعطيك الله سبحانه أنه يوفقك لحسنة أخرى. وإذا أنت أسأت ولم تتب فمن العقوبة التي يعاقبك الله بها أنه ماذا؟ ييسرك لسيئة أخرى. من جزاء الحسنة الحسنة بعدها، ومن جزاء السيئة السيئة بعدها. نسأل الله جل في علاه أن ييسرنا لليسرى، ونعوذ به أن ييسرنا للعسرى. وبهذا نختم درسنا في هذا اليوم. نسأل الله جل في علاه أن يجعل هذا المجلس في ميزان حسناتنا، إنه ولي ذلك القادر عليه.
Today, إخوان الشيخ, he talked about those people who oppose and they are in contradiction to Ahl Sunnah in the issue of the Qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are the people who are known as Al-Qadariya. Al-Qadariya. And they are called the Qadariya because of the word Al-Qadr, and because they went against Ahl Sunnah in the issue of Al-Qadr. So Ahl Sunnah called them Al-Qadariya. They went to the extreme in this issue of the Qadr. Ahlul Sunnah is in the middle. Ahlul Sunnah's understanding of the issue of the Qadr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created everything. And even though He created everything, He does not necessarily love or is He pleased with everything. There are those things that He loves and those things that He is pleased with. There are the other things that He does not love and He's not pleased with. So everything that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't necessarily mean that He's pleased with those things. So that's the middle course. As for the Qadariya, they are the extremes. One of them is a group from the Qadariya called the Ghulat. They have Ghulu. They have excessive and they are extreme, the ghulat. And then the other group are called the nufat, those people who deny. So one group have ghulu and they say everyone does and you are forced to do, you're compelled to do. And the other group are the ones who say no, they deny. You don't have, there's no qadr working in you, there's no qadr whatsoever as it relates to your issue. Ahl Sunnah is in the middle, and we have to be in the middle. Allah created everything, and everything is in existence by the Qadr of Allah and the creation of Allah by the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the Mukhalifun, those who go against that, they are the Qadariya, and we explain that they are the two extremes, the Ghulat and the Nufat. The Sheikh said there is a question that many people, they make it into a riddle. Even when they were children, they used to use this question, but the question is really a valid question. He said that when they were younger, the teacher would come in and they don't want to do any work, so they agree amongst themselves, let's ask the teacher this question. They don't want to hear the answer to the question, they just want to preoccupy the teacher on the class so that they do not have to do any of the work. He went on to say that, first of all, as it relates to the Qadariya, the people who are extreme, another name for them is the Jabariya. The Jabariya, which means to be compelled. They understand that everybody is compelled. You do what you do because you were compelled to do it and you don't have any choice whatsoever. The human being, he doesn't have any choice whatsoever. And the other Qadariya are the Nufat, those people who say that the human being, he has a choice in everything and nothing is affecting him in his decision or his choice. Not the Mashia of Allah, not the fact that Allah decreed anything, is totally, absolutely up to him. Al-Sunnah is in the middle between these two people, these two groups. They say, like the Qadariya, the Ghulat say, yes, there is a level of compulsion. that is upon the individual. And at the same time of being compelled, there is an aspect of him having a choice all simultaneously. So the people of Gulat say, no, he's 100% all together. You have to do it. The qadr is over you. You do everything. The other people say, no, there's no qadr. You do what you want to do. You're free. And as soon as the middle of that, there's an aspect of being compelled and an aspect of having free choice all at the same time. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to hold you accountable and give you the hisab on anything except the fact is taken into consideration that you have knowledge of it as well as you have the ability to make a decision. You have the ability. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran in so many ayats when He said, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and whoever wants, he has a Mashiach, whoever wants to have al-istiqamah, and he wants to be upright. So he established that the individual, he has a want as it relates to him being upright. Allah is not just forcing him and compelling him to be upright, but Allah says, whoever wants, he has a desire to have the istiqamah. So he has the ability to choose whether or not he's going to pray, the ability to choose whether or not he's going to do what is acceptable. So he asks the question, but even though he has the right to make this choice, does he have a choice in every single thing? Does the individual, the human being, have a choice in everything? Sheikh said, no. There are some things that are beyond your ability from the aqdar of Allah, from what Allah Ta'ala has decreed and from His Mashiach. Even in the ayat that we just mentioned, the second part of the ayah said, and no one will, and you will not want to do so except if Allah allows you to do so. So the first part of the ayah said, whoever wants to have istiqamah, establishing that you have a want, a Mashiach. And then Allah said, and no one will have the desire or the want except if Allah wants it. So that goes to show that there are things beyond your ability. Even though you have a desire, you have a free will, your free will is limited. Like the example of this lecture. Here you know that there will be someone here giving a lecture, you know the place and the day of the lecture, and you wanted to come. The Sheikh said, you're coming to this lecture. Was it a result of all of your wanting to come? Was it a result, the fact that you're here, is a result of you, everything about what brought you here is a result of just you wanting to come? Of course not. There were other aspects of you being here that are beyond your ability and your control. That is from what Allah Ta'ala has allowed. Like we all know, there were some people who wanted to come to the lecture. They weren't able to be successful in coming to the lecture. Their car could have broken down. They got news of the death of their mother. Some catastrophe befell them. Something that's beyond their ability and their control has held them back and prevented them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He only allowed those people to come because it was from His irada. And the irada of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is greater and more magnificent. What Allah wants is greater and more magnificent than what any of us or any human being wants. As Allah said in the Quran, Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope. And Allah, in another ayah said, Allah does not burden a soul or hold it to account except based upon what it has been given. So the individual, he has a Mashiach, and Allah Ta'ala also has a Mashiach to want. You want, and Allah Azza wa Jalla also wants. And the Mashiach of Allah overtakes and overpowers the Mashiach of everyone and everything else in creation. And he made another point about the people who do right and they want to do good. Allah brings about the means and the ways to make them successful in doing that good. And he brought those ayahs in Surah Al-Layl, whoever has fear of Allah, and he gives the sadaqah, he gives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him the ways of that. And whoever is oppressive and he goes overboard and he's stingy and he does not, in the first ayah, whoever that has taqwa and he believes in the husna and he gives the sadaqah, Allah will make things easy for him to do the right way. And in contrast, the other ayah said, whoever is stingy and he is oppressive, he goes overboard and he does evil, Allah, and he didn't believe in the husna, Allah will make things difficult for him. So if a person has the mashi'ah to do the right thing, Allah will bring about the affairs to make it easy for him to accomplish those things. And if he wanted to do the wrong thing, Allah will make it easy for him to do that which is wrong. And he doesn't force you to do right, nor does he force you to do wrong. You have the will to do those things. And depending upon the goodness or the evil of that will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you to either do this, or he makes it easy for you to do that. And then he made the dua for all of us. And we thank the Sheikh for what he has given us in this class. And we also thank you, brothers and sisters, for your patience and your good listening. Inshallah, there's going to be another lecture. I think the brother is going to make the announcement as to what the rest of the program is going to be.